All right, so it's 8:30. Let's get started. Buenos dias. So thank you for coming to the first session of the day. Early morning, so we're going to have to pump it up. So I have a lot of cool demos, and I think you're going to like them. So I'm pretty excited about this session. We're a small crowd, so I think we can make the session a little bit more interactive. So if you have questions, feel free to raise your hand, and we can have a little bit more of a dialogue and answer some of the questions as we go through the presentation. So today we're going to start showing a demo of an end-to-end scenario. So we have seen in the keynote all the different technologies that we're enabling across the board in Microsoft. We're making a big bet in the cloud, making big improvements in Azure, making the cloud much more approachable than it's been before. So it's evident that we're getting to a point where the cloud is becoming a reality for many customers. We're starting to see them move to the cloud, and that's definitely not exception for SharePoint and Office. So Office 365 was released earlier this year, and we're making a big bet on the cloud on Office 365 as well. So this session is really exciting for me because that's where we put together all the different technologies in a real-world end-to-end scenario, and we bring together Office 365, SharePoint, but also Windows Azure, Windows 8, and even the Windows 8 phone. So we're going to see all these technologies and how they come together, how the investments we're making in all the different stacks are actually enabling this interoperability that enables these rich scenarios. So my name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a lead program manager on the Office Development Platform team. I've been with Microsoft for about 10 years now, and six out of those in Office. I've always been focused on developer features, so I'm really excited and passionate about developer, and I hope this session will give you a lot of the insights of how we're enabling developer stories end-to-end that really allow you to put together solutions that solve real problems. So let me start asking you a question about your profile. So how many of you are SharePoint developers? Okay. How many of you are Windows Azure or Windows 8 developers? Okay, a couple. How many of you are Office developers? Oh, great. So how many of you are IT professionals? No IT professionals? Okay, couple. Okay, that's great. So we have a little bit for every one of you. So you'll see how with this new app model that we created with 2013, we're making all these technologies come together. So for today, I'm going to spend a little bit of time at the beginning just doing a quick recap of what the new app model is for Office and SharePoint. I'm not going to go very deep. I just want to touch on the very basic concepts to make sure we're leveled in our understanding of what's new. Then I'm going to set the background for a scenario and a demo of the application that we're going to look at today. This is basically an end-to-end demo of the user experience that we're going to enable as developers. Then I want to spend some time talking about the core concepts. What are the specific technologies and concepts we introduce with the new app model that makes all this possible? And then we're going to spend the rest of the session doing a breakdown analysis. We're going to look at each of the components of the scenario and the demo that we looked at the beginning and see how these were built. So let's get started with a recap of the new cloud app model. So I want to start with how we have enabled solutions in SharePoint 2007. So in SharePoint 2007, we enable solutions via the full trust code solutions. These are solutions that run server-side in SharePoint, and it's a really powerful model. It allows you to take full advantage of all the capabilities in SharePoint, but it also has some consequences. First of all, it requires really high privilege to deploy these solutions, right? You need to be an admin and you need to be in control of the box. The second thing is there are security and probably isolation and performance implications, like the code is running in the processes that are running SharePoint as well. So if the solutions fail, they can affect the SharePoint stability. So, and this was a problem, particularly for the cloud, but it was this worked well on premises where customers have full control of their boxes. But with the move to the cloud, it's really difficult to move this model forward to an environment where you really want that stability and that control. And you cannot allow like any type of code being running high privilege with all the processes that are supporting a big number of users. So in 2010, we introduced the notion of the sandbox, which is this idea of have a runtime isolated environment where the custom code runs, separate from the from the code running SharePoint itself. And this was a big step forward because it allowed then developers to put their code there. It required less privileges to put their code. It was a little bit safer and performant. And it also allowed us to move to the cloud, so have a symmetric story between solutions that run on-premise and solutions that run on the cloud. Now, however, we have received a lot of feedback about the sandbox being too limited. So with the sandbox, you cannot do everything that you can do with full trust code. Like, for example, you cannot use your own database or do code workflows or drop your own code pages. There are some restrictions with the sandbox. And we found out that it was kind of hard for us to keep up with all the new technologies and all the new requests that developers wanted to add to the sandbox. So we started thinking about new ways to enable the best of both worlds, like enable full trust as well as enable an environment that is cloud-friendly. But one other thing that we introduced in 2010, which is actually a big step forward, is the ability to also have client-side logic in your solutions. So we enable the CSOM, which allows you to call SharePoint from a client side, either a browser, JavaScript, or any other client like a phone or a device can now call into SharePoint. And that enabled a whole range of new scenarios, bringing SharePoint to devices and to other types of clients that was not possible before. You can have a combination of server and client side logic. So for 2013, we tried to keep the best of what we have seen before. And what we did is we basically popped out the sandbox to its own environment and enabled this model where your solution can now run server-side and client-side as well, but the server-side logic of your solution can be running anywhere. So it can be hosted in Azure. It can be hosted in your own IIS web server. It can even be hosted on a LAMP stack in Linux with Apache, MySQL, and PHP. You can even do that. The secret here is that we enable SharePoint as a service by providing a very rich set of APIs and a very strong trust model that allows the logic that is running remotely to be authorized and authenticated to SharePoint. So you still have that rich integration into SharePoint via standard web APIs, but your code is running outside of SharePoint. So you have the full power of leveraging any technologies you want server-side. And then, of course, we still have great support via the same set of APIs that we invested in SharePoint to enable our clients to talk back to SharePoint. So with that in mind, we're going to now dive into the specific demo scenario that we're going to enable with this cloud app model. So I want to show how this app model plays really well with all the different technologies that we are working on across Microsoft. Plays really well with Azure, plays really well with Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And we're going to piece everything together. So for today's session, the key takeaway I'd like you to have is this new cloud app model that we are introducing with the latest version of Office 365 and Office 2013 really makes it easier than ever to integrate the full power of Office. And when I say Office, I'm talking about the full suite of Office 365, like Exchange, SharePoint, the Office clients, all the different workloads that are available with Office 365, and then Windows. So, and again, Windows, I'm talking about all the different properties we have in Windows. Windows Azure, Windows 8, the Windows Phone. These two worlds are coming together, and we're doing this because we're betting in web standards. So there's a lot of things that can interoperate really in a really streamlined fashion because we're betting on web standards. So let's now dive into the actual scenario that we're going to dissect today. So let me just talk about the background for the scenario. So for this scenario, we have a business, and they want to create a solution for their sales persons, their sales people. They want to be able to track leads and track revenue forecast and be able to really respond efficiently to the requests that customers have for their services. On the technical side, they want to go 100% with the cloud. So we're going to create a solution that it's 100% cloud-based. And they also have all these devices. They have tablets, they have phones. So they, of course, want to make this solution available on these devices as well. So that is the background for the scenario that we're going to cover today. I want to talk about the different components that we're going to see in the scenario. So this is a little bit of a busy slide, but I'll walk you through all the different elements. These are all the elements that compose the solution. So on the left-hand side, I have the components on the client. Those are going to be running on the Windows desktop or tablet or mobile device. And on the right-hand side, I have the components running on the cloud. So we have Office 365 and we have Windows Azure. So let's talk a little bit about each of those. So first of all, we have a Windows 8 application that's going to be used by the sales reps. So the sales reps will be able to view client companies in this Windows 8 application, view sales leads, receive notifications about requests for quotes that are being generated by customers, and even do some sales analysis based on some revenue forecasting, as well as creating estimates for customers. So whenever there's a new request for quote, the salesperson will be able to use their Windows 8 app to create an estimate for the customer. We also have a Microsoft Word app for Office that allows them to review the statements of work and use some functionality that connects back to SharePoint to actually make decisions about whether the statement of work will be approved or not. That will be used by the sales manager role. Now, on the cloud, we have Office 365, and we have two different sites that we're going to talk about. We have an internal site. This is the intranet-facing site, and this is basically what it's exposed to sales reps and sales manager, and it has all the richness of the functionality, allowing them to generate statements of work, approve statements of work. It stores all the Excel and Word documents that are being generated. It uses BCS to access lead information from an external database. It allows them to create project sites so that they can collaborate on the project. This is all happening on the internal site. With every Office 365 installation or account, there's also the ability to have a public-facing site. So we're also going to see the public-facing site that is part of the solution. And this is basically enabling customers to come to the site and request a quote. On the Windows Azure side, basically we have the backbone. Remember that we said all the application logic can run off-box in any environment that you have? Well, this is what we have here. So for Windows Azure, we're actually having a couple of MVC for applications that are just web applications creating the standard tools that probably you're familiar with. And these two Windows Azure applications are hosted in Azure websites. And they're going to have all the logic that coordinates and talks back to SharePoint, integrates into the databases, and generates statements of work automatically, triggers workflows, et cetera. So the backbone of the application is going to be represented by these two MVC4 applications hosted in Azure websites. There is also Workflow Manager. So, of course, we're using SharePoint, and we can leverage the full power of Workflow. So in 2013, workflows in SharePoint run off-box in Workflow Manager, which is hosted in Azure. So we're going to have a workflow that also orchestrates some of the different process automation that we built into our solution. We are relying on Windows Azure Access Control Service, ACS, to provide all the coordination from a security perspective. So SharePoint made a big bet in OAuth, and OAuth is the technology that allows SharePoint to really be open and interoperate with any other platform. And and Access Control Services is the one that enables that coordination. And lastly, we have a Windows Azure SQL database, which is where we're going to store our sales leads or RFCs. So let's look at these components in action. So let's look at the runtime experience that users will get with our solution. All right, so I'm going to play three different roles here. I'm going to be switching between roles. I'm going to play the role of a customer that comes to the website and submits a request for quote. Then I'm going to switch to play the role of a sales rep that receives that notification about the request for quote created. And then I'm going to play the role of a sales manager. So let's start with the customer. I want to quickly show you the two different sites that we talked about. There's the intranet site, which is this one. You can see it's been customized for Contoso Compressors is the company that we created the solution for. And they also have a public-facing website. This is all in their same Office 365 account. And they have customized it to enable customers to come and see information about them. So this one's not very contrasty, but it says Contoso Compressors. So I'm going to start being a customer here. And I'm going to come and request a quote for a project with Contoso Compressors. So the first thing I did is I click on that request for quote. And I want to start explaining what's happening behind the scenes as I go through this runtime experience. So the customer gets this form that it's provided just to enter some project information. This is actually an app for SharePoint. It's an app for SharePoint that has been installed on the public-facing site, and it's enabling this functionality. So one of the things that I want you to notice here is where this app for SharePoint is running. This is running in Azure websites. So this is what we were talking about. All my server-side logic is running off-box. It's not running in the Office 365 environment. It's running in Azure. Now, from a user perspective, this still feels like I'm in SharePoint because, effectively, the app has also integrated this Chrome control, which is one of the building blocks that we provide to app developers to make sure the experience is streamlined between your app that will be running in Azure and the SharePoint site where you're coming from. So without that Chrome control, the user will be just on a completely different page. But because we have that Chrome control that actually inherits a lot of the theming and styling characteristics of the SharePoint site I'm coming from, and I can go back to that, the user still feels that they're part of the same experience. So if I click go back to site here, I'm just keep taking back to the same experience. But in reality, I'm actually switching in between two different sites. So let's go ahead and enter a new project. Let's say we want to request some compressors for Taket. I don't know what those would be useful for, but let's go ahead with that. Soon, I'm going to enter a contact person here, enter myself, and provide an email. And let's say I'm in the software industry, and let's say I want to start a project tomorrow. So I'm going to click Submit as a customer here on the public-facing site. And what's going to happen behind the scenes is there's going to be a new sales lead generated in the SQL Azure database that it's also hosted in Azure. And there's also going to be a notification sent to the sales rep so that they know there is a new sales request and they should, there was an error. Let me try again. Okay. So let's do that again. Taket company cam. Okay, details, need them soon. Okay, and let's speak. Let's say I want to start today. Let's see if that works now. Maybe I didn't type something correctly. Okay, so I'm still getting the error. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that that was created and just show you the experience for the sales manager. I'm going to use some requests that I created before. So I'm going to switch to the sales rep. So for the sales rep, we have a Windows 8 application, which is right here. And we also have a Windows Phone application that we're going to see later in the demo. So I'm going to click. Oh, wait a second. Let me just try something really quick here. May have forgotten to set up the security for the demo, so that maybe that's the reason the quote is failing. Okay, there we go. And let me try the quote one more time. Just want to make sure that we can see the end-to-end working. So project name again. And we can soon. And project start date. Okay, there we go. Forgot to warm up the site. So what happened is the sales lead was created on the SQL Azure database, and the notification was sent to my Windows 8 application. So you can see how I got the notification that a new sales lead was created. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on that notification, and that's going to launch my Windows 8 app. So now I'm the sales rep, and I'm using my Windows 8 app. So I want to show you this Windows 8 app allows me to see all the different customers that Contoso is working with. In this case, there's a couple of customers, Leadware and Fabricam. And this Windows 8 app gives me some overview of the revenue, yearly basis and quarterly basis, as well as the total sales. So this is where we're starting to see the power of integrating Office and Windows. So you can see these charts. So these charts, I didn't code them in my Windows 8 application logic. They're actually charts powered by Excel. So we're using and integrating Excel web services to create these charts and show them inside my Windows 8 application. Let me actually show you how that's being done. So I'm going to click on the chart, and we're going to navigate to the Excel file that it's actually powering this chart. So this is just an Excel file that is part of my solution that has the sales data with some charts that I can easily create with Excel. So if I come here and change the chart, the Windows 8 application is automatically going to get the update. So it's a really powerful way to enable end users to provide a customized experience. So you can see how, as a developer, you don't need to code all this logic to let the users create chart, customize them, update the sales number. It's just an Excel file. You already get all the out-of-the-box features of Excel, and they can create their own visualizations and their own experience. And very easily, you can integrate them into your Windows 8 application. So the same way, if I come to a particular customer, I can see the information about that customer specifically. So again, in this case, yearly revenue for Leadware and quarterly revenue for that customer. Now, I'm going to look at the sales lead that I just created. So you can see all the different sales leads with the different states. Each icon represents a different state. So we have a new sales lead. We have bid accepted, bid submitted, estimate created, different states where my sales lead can be. I'm going to click on the new one that we just created for the demo. And I can see the details there. So as a sales rep, I want to create an estimate for this customer. So I'm going to look at the project and say, okay, let me create a new customer here. So I'm going to do some quote. Let's say I have a couple of items. So want, let me make this just 9, keep the, and do item 2. Let's order 30 of that one. So we have an estimate of $1,200 in this case. And as a sales rep, I'm going to save that estimate. Okay, so saving that estimate is going to trigger another set of processes. You can see the notification I get about the, now there's a statement of work that has been created for this estimate. So what happened behind the scenes is there was a workflow that was triggered. That workflow coordinated a few things. It automatically generated a Word document, which is the statement of work, by using the OpenXML SDK and generating that and saving it to a SharePoint document library of statements of work. It is also going to notify the sales manager and assign a task to the sales manager for approval of this statement of work. So let's take a look at that. So now I'm going to switch to the role of the sales manager. So in this case, the sales manager is Alan. So as Alan, I'm going to come here and take a look at the statements of work. The workflow is going to send an email notification to Alan. That normally takes a few minutes, so I'm not going to wait for that notification to come. But that notification will also give Alan a link directly to the new statement of work that was created. We'll probably get it later when we look at these SOWs. But first I want to show you what happened with the statement of work. So I have a list of, there is my notification in the email, by the way, came promptly. So actually, if I click that, I can see the email that Alan received, basically telling them there is a new statement of work for your approval, please approve it. And that statement of work was stored in this list. We can see it right here, just created a minute ago. It's the TechEd RFC. From the email, I can navigate directly to the approval for that statement of work. So you can see that we created a task for approval. And that task has this document associated with it. So I'm going to go ahead as a sales manager and open the task, the statement of work in Word. So this is another place where technologies come together to enable really powerful scenarios. So I want to show you this statement of work was automatically generated based on a template, but it was updated with the actual values for the estimate that I created in my Windows 8 application. So we did this by using content controls, which is a feature in Word that allows you to have kind of placeholders for content that on the server side we're going to replace with the actual values and inject them into the document before saving it. So that's one very interesting aspect of integrating Word and the OpenXML SDK into the solution. Another aspect is that you can see this document comes with an app for Office. And this app for Office is also giving me insights as a sales manager as to how Fabricam is doing in terms of revenue. So in this case, it's just a very simple example. I'm actually pulling the same charts that the Windows 8 application is pulling, just showcasing how easy it is to just leverage information that is stored in Office 365 via Excel services. But I could have done much more here. I could have a more interactive task pane that allows me to drill down into the sales history of the client and do more. So the point here is that you can put all the information needed to approve this statement of work contextually with the same document using an app for Office, which is part of my solution. So in this case, I'm going to say, this looks good. Just going to go back to my task. I'm going to say, I approve it. So just click the approval button here. Okay, there we go. So now the task has been approved. And when I approve the task, an email with a statement of work document that I approved got sent to the customer. So let's say some time passes and the customer communicates that they want to go ahead with the bid. So Alan can now come back to the internal site, and after having a call with the customer, he can come to the sales leads list. And for some of you who are familiar with that spinning wheel that just showed up quickly, you may know that that's for external lists. So we're also integrating an external list in SharePoint using BCS, the Business Connectivity Services, to actually pull information out of the SQL database, the SQL Azure database, into the SharePoint experience. So this list of leads is actually coming from a SQL Azure database. Okay, so let's find the lead that we just used for demo. So I'm going to come here and say, since the customer called me and they're willing to go ahead with this project, I'm going to change the status of the lead from being submitted to being accepted. And then I'm going to save this. So when I save this, there's a couple of other things that are going to happen. Of course, the lead is going to be updated. There's going to be notifications to the sales rep to let them know that we're ready to go. There's also a project site that got created in SharePoint to let all the people involved in the project start collaborating. And one other thing that happened is that the Excel file that has the revenue for that company has also been updated. So again, integrating with Excel as a service and going to that Excel spreadsheet and updating the particular cell that represents Fabricam. So if you look at the numbers here, there's 106 and something. I'm going to refresh. You're going to see how that's been incremented by the amount of my estimate. So let me also just quickly show you the internal site that got created for the project. So if I go to the projects site and go to site context, there is a site for every project that gets accepted. So we can see here's one that was just created for my TechEd project. And here it is. So I'm already set up for the sales rep to come here and start collaborating on this project. So great end-to-end solution. I want to show you the last piece. This is a bonus feature. It also has, the solution also incorporates a Windows Phone experience. So let's say the sales rep sometimes just uses the phone. It's a customer visit, and they want to get access to the same information that's coming from Office 365. So in this case, there's also a Contoso sales tracking app here in the phone. Just going to launch it. And the first time I use it is going to request for login. So I'm logging to my Office 365 account. This is where you will see the password. And let's see if that works. So just enter my Office 365 credentials. See that didn't work. Let me try again. Okay, there we go. So we can see all the leads for Fabricam. We should be able to see the TechEd lead that we just created here. And I can actually use this app here to create new leads right from the phone. So in this case, I'm just saying I want to create a new lead. And I can come here and say, yeah, we want a project, another project. I'm just going to say project from phone. Oops. No, let me just erase that. Phone. And then I'm going to say the company is, again, Fabricam. Just in the interest of time, I'm going to leave all the other details. But I'm going to submit that. And as soon as I submit, if I come back to my internal site and look at the sales leads. Let's see. I don't think that's submitted. Okay, it's submitting it now. So you can imagine that we're going to update the sales lead, and then the same process is going to happen the same way the customer. Oh, it seems my security key seems to be expiring, so that's why this is failing. Figure that out. So let me go ahead and refresh it one more time to make sure we don't keep failing. It's going to go here and warm it up. Okay. Anyway, so that is the end-to-end scenario. Now, let's break it down. Let's see how this was built. Let's look at some code. But before this, I want to just talk about some of the core concepts that are actually enabling this. How does all these pieces coming together? So let's talk a little bit about the hosting. So we talked about you can host your app logic outside of SharePoint. But SharePoint actually offers three different hosting models. What we call a SharePoint hosted app. So if you have a simple app that doesn't have any server-side logic, you can actually host it in SharePoint. Use SharePoint as your hosting environment. And don't worry about having any other web server. That's very simple, but the restriction is everything needs to be client-side. You can use declarative stuff, but no server-side logic. Now, if you need server-side logic, that's where you want to run your code off-box. And for that, we have a couple of options. We have the straightforward option of what we call a provider-hosted app, which is basically you put your web server logic anywhere you want, and the app is just basically a pointer to that server. You just need to register that app with SharePoint, which enables the app to talk back to SharePoint via OAuth. Of course, Azure would be the best experience here, but you're free to choose any technology stack for your server. We also have this notion of auto-hosted apps. So auto-hosted apps is a convenience that we add to the hosting options that allows you to package your app, and don't worry about the hosting it in your own web server. Just give us a package that has all the logic for your app, and we will automatically create and host it an Azure website for you behind the scenes. So you don't need to worry about that. Just give everything, but all the server-side logic, we put it in Azure and run them there. So you have these three options available, and you can use them whenever you create apps for Office. So that's one of the core elements. Where do you host your logic? The second one is the API. This is a big enabler. So in 2013, we basically invested a lot in making the SharePoint API very rich and open. We enable it for OAuth, so now you can talk from any standard web client using OAuth and access the API. And with the API, you can use almost everything that is available in SharePoint. You can use search, you can use VDC, you can use site contents. The possibilities are very rich here with the API. So this is another key enabling technology, and it's just a standard REST API. The CSOM object model relies on this API to connect back to SharePoint. It also supports OData as a standard, so if you have OData where clients, you can use OData with the SharePoint API. So great asset to have as a developer. Now, there's another concept which is very important in enabling this interop between SharePoint, Office 365, Office, and Windows Phone. The app principle. So the app principle is a security construct. It's basically identifying each app as an entity that it's a standalone that exists in the system. And because we identify the app as an entity, the app has an identity, and it can have permissions to access stuff inside SharePoint, the same way users have permissions. So now I can permission apps to do stuff in SharePoint. And this also plays in the OAuth integration experience, because OAuth is used to authenticate apps, and the app principle is the way we identify the apps. So when you are testing, there is a special page in SharePoint under the VTI, under the layouts folder, called Average New. So Average New is a page that allows you to create new app principles. So you can come here to this page and enter an app ID and an app secret. And these are the two key pieces that basically enable you to be authenticated by the system. And then you have some additional information about the domain where your app is hosted. So this is where you provide your third-party domain where you will host all the logic. Once you register your app, now you can use it on that particular Office 365 tenant. But if you want an app that it's basically globally available and you want to publish it in the store, you will do something similar but in the seller dashboard that we have for Office 365. So you will register as a seller. You will register your app. You will provide a name. You will receive an ID and a secret for your app. And after that, your app will be globally known by any Office 365 site, and you will be able to request permissions to talk to any Office 365 site via OAuth. So app principle, really powerful. And whenever you install an app, so in the case of SharePoint, apps are installed on sites, you will get the trust permissions. The user will have to authorize the app, and you have to declare what your app wants to do against that particular site. So you will see this prompt that is basically what it's enabling the communication between your app and the SharePoint. Now, let's drill down a little bit into the authentication. What has changed in terms of authentication for SharePoint? So, in SharePoint, we are used to user-based authentication, so there's always a user identity in context, and all the calls are authorized based on that identity. But with apps, we're also introducing the notion of app identities. So now here we have these two different identities, which may play a role together in how SharePoint authenticates calls. So there is a flow here, depending on the context of the request, which identities are provided, many different flows will follow. So if the user credentials are provided only in the request, there's only a user context in the request, and the call is not to an app web. So we're going to talk a little bit about what an app web is, but just briefly for this explanation, it's just a special web that it's created every time you install a SharePoint app into SharePoint. There is a special site or web where all the assets of that app are installed. So the app can access its own app web. So if the call is trying to access an app, is not trying to access an app web, that is just the normal user trying to access some SharePoint resource today. Nothing new here. That's just the normal flow. Now, if the call is into some of the assets that are inside the app web, then that's where we need to have the context of the app. So if yes, then SharePoint is going to take or require an app context. Basically, that app identity needs to be part of the request. And it's going to use this token that contains both identities, the user and the app. And all the authorization is going to be the intersection of the permissions between the app and the user. So if you want to access a document, the user needs to have permissions to the document, and the app needs to have been authorized to access that document library. Both permissions apply. If some of the test fails in terms of permissions, the access will be denied. Now, what happens if more than user credentials are provided? So if no user credentials are provided, and there's no app token provided, no app identity in the request, then that's the, again, regular anonymous context, which we already have in SharePoint, and SharePoint will do the right thing for anonymous access. Now, the third case is, what if the token includes the user? Well, it's similar. If you have an app token and a user token, again, you're going to treat both as the unit of permissioning and authorization. But there is this other possibility, which is, what if there is no user in the context? What if the app is just making a request server-side directly, and there's no user initiating that action? Well, now that is also possible because there's an app principle and OAuth is enabling this. So this is a really common and powerful scenario that allows you to have app logic that instead of having to hard-code your username and password credentials on your app, you now rely on OAuth and provide an app principle to the request so that SharePoint can know, oh, yeah, I know this app, it's authorized to do these things, and I can make it work. So These are the four different options. So it's good to be familiar with this option. There's, of course, a lot of documentation out there about these. But these are some of the key concepts that enable the solution that we just saw. So let's now drill down into the actual pieces. Let's look at some of the code behind these pieces and see how that solution was put together. So we're going to first talk about the public Office 365 site. The site is basically an app that was installed to the public site and allows the customers to submit requests for quotes. So again, this is an MVC4 app. That it's hosted in Azure, in Azure website specifically. It uses the Chrome control, as we talked about, and it also uses some OData endpoints to connect back to the SQL Azure database. So I'm going to switch to my demo machine here, and I'm going to open that project. So this app is a simple app for SharePoint. It was created in Visual Studio by going to New Project, and Visual Studio now has these new templates for App for Office and App for SharePoint. So this was created as an app for SharePoint. So let's look a little bit about the code. So first of all, project structure. Every app for SharePoint is going to have two projects. One, which is the actual app for SharePoint, which is everything that is going to be registered and deployed to SharePoint. In the minimal case, if all your logic is going to be hosted outside of Azure, that is going to be just a manifest and an icon. That's all SharePoint needs to know about your app. And the manifest basically has the information about the permissions the app needs, the identity, the URL where the app will be hosted. But everything else will be hosted in Azure. And that's the second project. So the second project is a standard MVC for web project where you can do anything you want that can run in Azure. And this is the project that you're going to deploy to the Azure website. So every SharePoint app is going to have these two projects. Now, let's take a look at some of the key elements of this app. So I'm going to look at the main page, the page that displays the request for quote form. So first of all, I'm going to highlight, this is just regular HTML, including some libraries and some styles. The first thing that we're doing here is we're relying on jQuery to wait for the document to be loaded, and we're going to check the user agent to provide some tailored experience for mobile devices. That's what allowed my phone experience to be tailored for the phone. The next thing I want to show you is this is including the Chrome control that we talked about. So it's going to do that by loading these spuicontrols.js library, which is available in every SharePoint site installation. So what this app needs to do is basically go back to the host site, the site where the app is installed, which is the public site, and access that JavaScript file from there. And this is possible because every time you launch an app, there is this sphost URL parameter that gets passed to your logic running in Azure. So let me actually show you that. So if I come here and go to the public site, let me go to the request for quote. This is what launches the app. So I wanted you to notice the URL. So this is the URL to the public site. And there's sphost URL query string parameter that we're passing there that it's basically sending the site that I'm coming from to the logic in Azure. So using that, basically, I can get back to the host web URL, do layout/15, and get that SharePoint control. And once that SharePoint control is loaded, I'm going to run this render Chrome control function, which basically sets some options from the Chrome control. You can customize these and then basically make it appear. We're using this div as a placeholder, and this is where the Chrome control is represented. I'm putting that at the top of the page. So very simple, just standard JavaScript and HTML. Now, if we're on a mobile device, we're going to provide a different date picker experience that is friendly to the phone. We also have the submit button. So on the submit button, you can see how we're creating the project from the form that was submitted. And we're going to make an AJAX call to a service endpoint, which is submits lead. Submit says lead. And that, again, is just a standard post call sending the leads information. And that service is going to take care of putting the lead in the SQL Azure database. And that's pretty much all the logic. The only one other thing that I want to show you is that submit sales lead, which is supported by this service com controller, basically creates a new entity using the entity model, entity framework, puts it into the SQL Azure database, and then it's going to send a notification. This is the notification we get in the Windows 8 app. So it's going to use Windows notification services to send that notification. So I'm going to come back to that, how those notifications work. So that's the public app. Now let's talk about how did we integrate these notifications to send notifications both to the Windows 8 app and the Windows phone. So the notifications enable cloud-hosted apps to send notifications to devices. These are push notifications that are initiated in the cloud. And Windows 8 supports three different types, a toast, tile, and a batch notification. So in my example, we're using toast and tile. And let me actually switch and show you. We didn't see that in the demo. But if I come here and turn on the live tile, you can see how these notifications were integrated also into the live tile. And this chart here was actually grabbed from Excel as well. So it's really easy to integrate Excel services into the toast notification. So that's where the notifications are showing. For example, I have a new sales lead notification that was pending for me to come back to. So those are the notifications that we're using. Now let's see how they work. So the flow is, there are many sources for notifications in this demo. The public website sends notification when sales lead is created. When that happens, basically it connects back to the Azure website, our own solution logic running in Azure, which is going to in turn connect to a cloud service provided by Windows, which is the Windows Push Notification Services. In order to talk to this service, you basically need to register your app and obtain an access token. And once you have an access token, you can use it from your server-side logic to connect to that service in Azure. And that service is, of course, going to deliver the notification to the client that it's associated or has subscribed to the notification. So the Windows 8 app subscribes to the notification with the cloud service from Windows, and it's able to receive and pass that notification to your own app logic. And then your own app logic can do whatever you want with that notification. Like, for example, I can also trigger a notification from my own Windows 8 app. So when I create a new sales lead in my own Windows 8 app, that also creates a sales lead in through Azure and goes through the same notification flow. In this sample, are we also generating notifications from Workflow? So Workflow is also triggering notifications via the same Azure website. So let's take a look at the code that generates those notifications. So now I'm going to switch to a different project. This is the internal app project. And I want to show you a little bit of the project structure here because there are some differences. So we still have the two projects, the app, which is the app manifest, and the web project, which is the MVC4. Now, the difference here is that in the app project, I not only have a manifest for the app, I have a bunch of stuff there, a bunch of stuff that is going to be deployed to that SharePoint app web. So whenever we deploy an app to SharePoint, install it on a site, there is going to be a special site that is created just for that app instance in that site that is a container for any assets that that app wants to store in SharePoint. So whatever I put in this project, it's going to go to that app web. And as you can see, I can put whatever I can put in a regular SharePoint site. I have a bunch of stuff there. I have content type definitions. I have my external content type that allows me to do VCS against the SQL Azure database. I have document templates. I have an app for Office. The app for Office that we saw in Word is actually also going to be deployed as part of this app in SharePoint. I have side column definitions. I have the approval workflow, also part of these. So the point here is that you can put and store in SharePoint, as long as there is not server-side logic running in SharePoint, you can put all these declarative artifacts in SharePoint and then use them as part of your app. I even have the sales report template here. Like if I double-click on it, you can see this is the actual template file that we're using for Excel. It's also being deployed to a document library as part of the app installation. So that's one difference between this project and the previous one. It's a little bit more sophisticated in terms of deploying elements to SharePoint. Now let's look at the web project behind this app. So let's look at how notifications are being sent. So there is this service controller here, which is orchestrating the sending out of the notification. So there's a few methods here that are actually exposed as REST endpoints in the Azure website that any client can call. So there is a set of send notification template. I have template one, template two, for each of the different cases, like when the lead is created, when the SOW has been created. And I'm using different style of notifications. Sometimes it's toast, sometimes it's tile. So very simple. You can see how I'm getting information about the app web URL, the company, the revenue, and then just passing that into the notification. Now, this is implemented via the Windows Notification Services API. So I have this function in this util library that is basically doing the sending of the notification. So I'm getting the access token. This is the access token that the Windows Notification Services gave me so that I can send notifications. And then I'm constructing the notification here and then sending it to the Windows Notification Service. So constructing, this is well documented. So if you go to the Windows Notification Service, you will see all the schema that you need to generate is basically XML that describes what the notification is going to be. So you will see here the different functions to create the template. So basically, this is constructing the XML that represents the notification. So again, I'm not going to go into the details here, but you can find all the schema documentation and how to generate notifications in the Windows documentation. So very, very simple. Now, we're also generating notifications from workflow. So as you saw, I'm including a declarative workflow as part of my SharePoint app. And so there's this is the workflow that orchestrates a bunch of the sending the email, auto-generating the statement of work. So there's a bunch of logic that this workflow does for me. Let me come to the place where the notification is sent, which is right here. So here you can see how this workflow is sending notification by simply calling into that send notification template 3, which is exposed by the service controller in my app, which in turn talks to the Windows Notification Service using the access token that was provided to my app. So it's a really simple web service call from the workflow to generate the notification. So some other things that this workflow does is, of course, look up the items. And probably that's the most interesting piece of the workflow. There's also some, we'll come back to other artifacts in this solution. So that is how notifications are being sent. I can also send notifications from the Windows 8 app in a very similar way. So we talked about integration of Windows 8 and Azure. So we saw how the Excel services data and the charts are integrated in the Windows 8 just by calling calling Excel services to retrieve the image representation of the charts in those spreadsheets. And we talked about how we enable the Windows 8 to integrate and talk back to SharePoint. So let's look at the Windows 8 project and see some interesting stuff there. So this is the project for the Windows 8 Metro app. And I want to show you just a couple of interesting pieces here. This is a JavaScript-based app, so all the code for this Windows 8 app is JavaScript. So I can use the same skills that I used to create my web projects in SharePoint, which is also one of the things that makes this development really familiar. Like now, you can use the web skills that you have across the board to create Azure, to create Windows 8, to create apps for Office, apps for SharePoint. It's all web technologies. So here, one of the things I want to show is where the Windows 8 app is connecting to an OData service exposed by that other project that we showed that is exposing some endpoints to retrieve sales leads. And again, this is just standard REST service calls from JavaScript inside my Windows 8 app. So when I retrieve the sales leads, I iterate over the collection. It's basically returned as a JSON stream, so I can very easily manipulate that in JavaScript. Here I'm creating the different icons that I'm going to put in the tiles based on each status of the lead, and then I'm going to push that into my collection of leads. When you click on that spread, like the spreadsheet view of the charts inside the Windows 8 app, we're using the ability to navigate to a particular URL that contains the template. You can see how I have the link to the sales report here, and I'm just enabling that to be clickable, and we automatically navigate back to the SharePoint site. What else? And then updating sales leads is also very similar. It's another REST call. Whenever I update the sales lead, I'm going to also send a notification. So you can see how I'm using the same approach to send a notification from my Windows 8 app via my Azure endpoint that knows how to talk to the Windows notification services. Let me see. This is the function that retrieves the charts from the Excel spreadsheet. So Excel services support a REST interface where I can query not only the whole document, but I can query elements inside the document. So in this case, I'm just making a request, very simple HTTP GET request, you can see here, to this URL. So that URL is going back to the sales report, and I'm actually drilling down into the charts collection to get all the charts inside that spreadsheet as images. So once I get the chart as an image, it's very easy for me to render it inside my Windows 8 app. And that's exactly what's happening here. So just parsing that response from Excel services and setting the image into the right UI element in Windows 8 app. So those are some of the most interesting concepts of how Windows 8 is being integrated with, in this case, Excel services and SharePoint by calling REST APIs on both endpoints. Now, let's talk about the internal SharePoint site just a little bit more. We already saw the project structure, how we're sending notifications. We're using this internal SharePoint site also for document storage. So all the statements of work that are being generated are being stored in a document library that is created on that app website that it's created when the app is installed. I have the template there. I'm using Excel services for the business intelligence aspect of the app. There is this interesting aspect, which is you can have what we call app-level external content types and app-level external lists as part of your site. So for those of you who are familiar with BCS and the BDC models, you can have a BDC model that it's just scoped to the app. It's deployed with the app and available just in the context of the app. This is what we have here. So we defined an entity for sales leads that allows me to surface that as an external list, and that's the experience that we saw going to that external list in the website. And then, of course, these app is also automatically generating the subsites for the project collaboration. So when I went to see the projects and the subsite was automatically created for that project, that subsite is also being generated at runtime by the logic in my Windows Azure web app. So let's take a look a little bit about what else is in there. Let me see. So here's my sales lead external content type. It's part of my solution. There's a couple of interesting. So this is, for example, the method sales report revenue. Remember when you accept the bid? Sorry? Oh, good point. Thank you. Sorry about that. So this is, again, I'm back to my internal project, and I'm looking at some of the files that are running server-side logic there. And I have this set sales report revenue. This is the function that it's invoked whenever the sales manager approves the bid, and the Excel file is going to be updated with the new sales number. So this actually, again, goes deep into the Excel spreadsheet into a particular cell and updates the value of that cell. So this is what we're getting here. So we're getting the host URL and the app URL as parameters to be able to find our way into that Excel spreadsheet. We're going to open that Excel spreadsheet and then go to a particular location and update the value by adding the new estimate for that. Here's the function that creates the subsites. So this one is interesting. This is my Windows Azure logic server side talking to Office 365 SharePoint to create a new subsite. So the way this happens is I'm going to obtain a client token. This is basically the app principle that I was talking about. There is a helper function that we provide with every SharePoint app project that is called Token Helper. So Token Helper basically allows you to retrieve your own app identity from a configuration file. So this get client context with access token is basically give me the information I need to put in the request that I'm going to make to SharePoint so that I am authorized. So I get that, and the result back is just a client context object from SharePoint, but that it's now authorized with the OAuth token, and now I can talk back to SharePoint just using the SharePoint OM. So you can see how I'm loading the web, I'm executing the query to get the information, and then I'm just going to use regular SharePoint OM functionality to create a new website definition, so using this creation information object to set the name of the website, the URL, the permissions, et cetera, what template I want to use for this website, and then just execute that query. And because I'm using OAuth, I'm authorized to do that as an app. That is the logic that creates the website. There are some other functions here that we can take a look at, not very particularly specific to Office 365 or Azure. This is just sending an email with the attachment of the statement of work to the document. Probably the interesting thing here is we are retrieving that statement of work document from the app web as well. So we need to talk back to SharePoint, retrieve that document, and then generate an email and attach that document to it. So you can see how I'm, again, trying to access the list of statement of work. Now, this one is interesting, creating the SOW document. So this is where we're using yet another technology that is really powerful. It's the OpenXML format and the OpenXML SDK to take a template that was part of my app project and then using the content controls that we showed in the UI, basically inject the actual values. So I'm going to crack that open, that Word template, and inject the values. So that's the first thing that we do. We get the URL to that template that it's part of my app web. And then the next thing that I'm going to do is basically I'm going to open, using the OpenXML SDK, that Word document using these. These are objects that are coming from the OpenXML SDK. So if you can see the the namespace that this is coming from, documentformat.openxml, allows you to basically crack open OpenXML documents. So I create a new document from the URL, I open it, and then I start drilling down into the contents of that. So I'm going to get some of the properties of that document. I'm going to get access to the content controls that have particular names that I know about so that I can then inject the values there. I'm going to set the values to the whatever the sales lead was created with. And then I'm going to update that document in the SharePoint site, the list of statement of work documents. So I'm going to create a new file there, execute a query. The document is first saved into the document library, and then the project ID that got associated to the document is added as a side column to that document. So that's the two calls that you see here. One is just saving the document, and the next call is going to update the project ID in the column so that now SharePoint has an entry with the document and a column that has the project ID so that we can easily know what project that document is for. These are just some utility functions. So you can see how all these things are starting to come together thanks to everything is now being exposed as REST. There is a very robust authentication framework that allows the different things just talk to each other in a secure way. The fact that the SharePoint API is so rich that I can create subsites, there's the OpenXML, Excel services, all this is coming together based on web standards. So OAuth, again, like one of the big pieces. Let's talk a little bit about the last two pieces. We have a couple of minutes. Just want to show you a couple of more things, the workflow and the App for Office. So the App for Office is that task pane that we saw in the statement of work. So let's take a look at how that was integrated as part of the solution. So in here, I'm going to show you that that App for Office is part of my app project. It's going to be deployed to SharePoint as part of the solution. And what gets deployed to SharePoint is really just the manifest file for that App for Office. So it basically describes where the App for Office is hosted, and you can see the actual logic for my task pane is also hosted in Azure. It's actually pointing to this page. So this is the page that renders those two charts in the Excel task pane. So you can see how all I'm doing here is just including some JavaScript files that I need to interact with Office if I wanted to. And all the logic for that App for Office is in this app.js file. So in that app.js file, that's where, again, we take advantage of the ability to talk to Office and talk to services to get those charts. So what this App for Office is doing is it's talking to Office, in this case Word, via this context.document, which gives me access to the currently open document. And I'm using custom XML parts, which is a way to get access to those custom columns that got associated with the statement of work. So remember, we updated the project ID as a column on the document, so I'm going to access some of that information here via the custom XML parts. So I'm going to access the client name for that project, and then I'm going to retrieve the charts for that particular Fabricam client. So in this case, again, I'm going to connect to Excel services and do the same technique I used in the Windows 8 app to retrieve just the chart as an image and put it into my task pane inside the App for Office. And that's pretty much what the App for Office does. And Workflow Manager, we already took a look at the workflow. So we saw how it's a declarative workflow deployed to SharePoint, eventually deployed to the Workflow Manager infrastructure in Azure. So just to wrap up, I hope you have now a good notion of Yeah, it is actually very real now to create these end-to-end solutions that take advantage of all the different technologies that we have to offer. And with the new Cloud App model, with SharePoint and Office, is particularly rich and easy to create these solutions that tap into all the power of Office 365, Office Services, and SharePoint. So the core enabling technologies, again, just to recap, the new API in SharePoint enables a lot of these. The new App Principal and OAuth as a way to make this interop possible between all the different systems. So call to action and resources. If you want to learn more about all these, go to dev.office.com. That's the single destination where you will find all the different resources that you need to get started and get detailed documentation about this. You can sign up for a free trial for an Office 365 developer site, which allows you to get started developing applications just with a browser. All you need to get started is a browser. If you go to dev.office.com and click on the start button there, you will have instructions on how to get started developing apps just with a browser. You can also find samples and tutorials and document resources. There's blogs. So there's the general Office apps blogs, which focuses a lot on SharePoint apps and Office apps. Donovan, who is the guy that created this demo, also has a personal blog. So if you want to look at some of the articles that he's publishing, I would recommend going to his personal blog. There's also some interesting articles that he is publishing. And then, you know, Channel 9 is there for you to get additional resources, TechNet and MSDN. So with that, just remember to evaluate the session. Let us know how we can improve or what you liked. And we may have a little bit of time if you guys have questions. Otherwise, I'm going to be in the booth all day today, so feel free to drop by and we can have a discussion on how this can be applied to your particular scenario. If you want to drill down on specific technologies, we can do that at the booth as well. I'm going to have the laptop. We can take a look at the code. So thank you very much, and I can take some questions in the podium. Thank you.